Welcome to podcast 6 from Totally That Stupid. I'm the artist formerly known as Reed.
Are you now?
Yeah, but I haven't figured out what I'm going to be. I've been working on a symbol.
That's hard. That's hard. I don't think you have enough anger, right? You need a record company to be really angry at.
Yeah, I'll work on it.
Yeah.
I guess that's how that worked, isn't it? That was all about the record company and ownership of names and rights and stuff. Yeah.
Yep. And yeah. I'm pretty sure you don't have any of those problems.
You being in Minneapolis, that comes with the territory. You have to know that stuff.
I do.
About Prince.
I hope we don't get demonetized by saying Prince. So that could happen.
I was thinking as we were contemplating what we were going to talk about in this dynamic and fun-filled episode of Totally That Stupid, the podcast. I was thinking about driving songs.
Okay.
And the one that always comes first to my mind, and this goes back to our illustrious and esteemed producer, Ms. Morimoto, because she taught this one to me, and that is Synchronicity 2 by The Police. Mm-hmm. And the thing that's great about that song as a driving song is that if you're driving anywhere, so this was great in Southern Connecticut because telephone poles. You know, if your power lines or your phone lines are buried, it doesn't work. But any place that's got telephone poles next to the side of the road, you can drive quickly to the beat of the song, matching the telephone poles passing your car. So if you think about it, you've got, you know, da 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 da, and it goes pum pum pum. And if you time that with your telephone poles, you're doing about 70, 75. And it's glorious.
Do you think there's a standard for how far away telephone poles are, regardless of what road?
Yeah, probably.
Right, because if you're on I-95, it's like, yeah, great, I'm keeping up with traffic, maybe. But if you're on the Merritt Parkway, well, you're probably maybe still keeping up with traffic. But if you're on some if you're on like Route 25 in Easton, you're carrying some speed.
Well, and even so, you know, where my daughter goes to school out in Indiana, they love their telephone poles out there. And this is like little two-lane roads in the middle of nowhere. And yeah, I bet that is, you know, now I'm going to have to Google that at some point, because in my day job, standards and you know, building codes and things are a big thing. And I will bet you that there are, you know, certain standards, probably depends on how many wires are hanging on it, what type of wires they're carrying, what have you. But I don't know. What do you think? 30 feet? I don't know.
You know, here's the funny thing about recording this on computers.
Do you have the Google?
We have the internet.
You have the Google.
Yeah, telephone pole spacing. Close, 40 feet. See? A typical utility. Sorry.
Oh.
They're roughly 40 feet in length. 6 feet is buried under the ground.
Okay.
And they're commonly spaced 125 feet apart. While rural areas, the distance can be more like 300.
Okay, so I'm an idiot. But is that telephone, like, is that the big, like, tall metal ones, or is that just the sticks? Because the stick, like driving up, you know, the road I used to live on back in the day that had telephone poles, they were not 150 or 300 feet apart.
It probably depends, right? Utility pole Wikipedia says 125 feet apart in urban areas.
Okay. Well, maybe I just have a distance problem.
Or maybe you're just driving faster than you think.
Yeah, all of a sudden that makes the song go, you know, that brings a whole new sort of light to that whole issue. But that notwithstanding, so I mean, you know, I was thinking about what are my go-to driving songs, and you know, as children of the 80s and children of parents of the 60s and what have you, I mean, obviously there are certain go-to genres, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I like my 60s music to an extent. I like my punk to an extent. Mm-hmm. I like some new wave. I don't know, every so often my kids turn me on to some damn thing. I was listening to, oh, what is that guy's name? He's very popular right now, but I...
Yeah, you're asking the wrong person, my friend.
So I'm setting up my stereo the other day, and there's a vinyl album on top of all the other ones in the box. Vinyl albums, for those that don't know, it's a big piece of plastic with little grooves on it that you put in this big... Anyway, we can cut that out. So there's a record album of Harry Styles.
Oh, I've heard of him.
Yeah, yeah, he was a Direction, I think, as in One Direction.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't have known that.
Yeah, I have teenage daughters.
Yeah,
but yeah. Anyway, I put this on
with no apparent taste.
Well, but here's the thing. So I thought, okay, it's here, and frankly, I was trying to attract teenage daughter with the sound emanating from the glorious stereo that I have reconnected with components and speakers and speaker wire and subwoofers and things. And so I put the Harry Styles album. Couldn't tell you the name of the album. Couldn't tell you the name of the song. But it was kind of a dirgy thing, and I kind of liked it.
Interesting.
And it's one of those things, you know, do I want to admit this? I mean, if you go back to podcasts where we talked about Gilmore Girls, we have some interesting tendencies from time to time.
Yeah,
but Harry Styles, don't hate him, at least in that song on that album that I can't name.
I do still have the Google on the internet opened, and I'm not gonna Google Harry Styles dirgy song because I just don't care that much, but but to get to your original question, L.A. Woman by The Doors.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a good song. That's a good driving song.
Yeah, it is.
It does have that little slow bit towards the end, but that's okay.
Yeah, but you can still drive fast to that slow bit.
Yeah, because you're driving fast already, right? I mean,
but you double time Mr. Mojo Rising,
right?
You know,
yeah,
you know, so that one works.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, one you may not be familiar with. It sort of came out of this whole early '90s post-college alternative. That grunge sound, that Seattle sound, you know, was it sound?
If you say Smells Like Teen Spirit, we're ending the podcast.
Oh God, no. but it was of that era, right? And in fact, Nirvana was more rock than that whole like Stone Dog Temple
and in all fairness,
of the Soundgarden jam or whatever that band was.
And in all fairness, I really like Dave Grohl.
I really like Dave Grohl. I don't love the Foo Fighters musically. But I love, like, I want to drink beer with Dave Grohl.
Totally.
And I even drink beer. But yeah. I would love, I think Dave Grohl's a great guy. He's a great rock and roll guy. Yeah. He gets the whole thing. He's apparently a great dad. Awesome. But, like, I don't love the Foo. And I want to.
No, that's fair. That's fair.
I want to. But no, the song I was thinking of was actually Stone Temple Pilots' Interstate Love Song.
Yep. Don't know it.
Okay. Good up-tempo, just sort of driving, it's not a rhythm, I don't know, it's like
beat,
the driving beat, like the music propels you forward. It's good. It's a good song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, but it's not always about speed, right? So if I go back in the annals of time to my rad era, back in the Prelude days, one of my favorite driving songs during college was driving to the Twin Peaks soundtrack in the rain.
Ah, Battle of Mente. Yeah. Good old Angelo. Yeah.
That was great driving.
Yeah. I mean, great music. And speaking of which, like, you know, Julie Cruz just died recently, right?
Yeah.
She was, yeah. She was the lounge singer, and she cut some tracks for those guys. But yeah, no, it's good mood music.
Yeah. I just like it in so you have the sunroof cover open, but obviously the sunroof closed. You got some good rain going. It's dark, but it's daytime, sort of, 6 p.m. in fall, and you got the rain coming, and that you play that music, and it is so it's just a vibe. It's a good groove.
Yeah, that'd be on tape deck, by the way, kids.
Oh, did I tell you about my tape deck? This is awful.
No.
So I'm connecting my stereo, my components all together. And this is the other part of the podcast, folks, that both Jonathan and I have recently relocated. And so a lot of what we talk about these days is, houses and house issues. So yeah, just bear with us if we sort of sidetrack into that. But I'm setting up my component stereo the other day. All, my receiver, got my record player. I found a CD player in the pile of audio equipment, audio visual equipment. I have a Sony tape deck that's just a simple one deck Sony tape deck. Plug it in, and I thought, oh, I'm going to make sure everything's hooked up and working right. I put a tape in it, and then it stops. Now, if you hold the button just so, it'll go anyway. So I need to take my trusty screwdriver, open the tape deck, and then decide to replace it.
The only advice I can give you is absolutely take it apart before you decide to replace it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm guessing slipping belt or something.
I mean, probably. So, to your point, we also recently moved house, and our house is straight up out of 1987. And we have one of those really cool new tone intercom systems, and it has a, wait for it, a tape deck.
You have the fancy one. Mine
I
doesn't
know
have a
we got
tape
the
deck.
fancy one,
My
but so,
1988 house doesn't. I just have radio.
right. So, but I can tell you, the lady who owned the house before us, I'm pretty sure in the 20 years she lived here, never used it, because we had a little gathering recently, and everybody was all into checking out the tape deck that's in the wall by the kitchen, and until they look in it, and it's a fright show in there. So, I mean, any tape that you like, I wouldn't put it in that tape deck right now. I'm not
But
entirely
did
sure how to. Well, I haven't tried it. I might try to spoof a tape being in there and just see if the mechanism works.
what do you get to lose? You pop a tape in. If it eats the tape,
Yeah, but we recently found the box with the tapes in it, right? And there's really not that many left. I maybe 12 or 14 tapes at this point. And who knows if they work anyway, right? I mean, tape doesn't last forever, but maybe. I actually have the first two cassette tapes that I ever had.
Really?
My cousin Elon, who may or may not still be listening to these, made me two mixtapes. One side was Phil Collins, the other side was the Police. And then there was another tape. I'd have to go dig it out. But yeah, they're these TDK D90s from 1985, maybe
One
84.
of the things I found was an unopened blank cassette tape. The plastic wrap still on it, Maxell or something. And totally, I'm never gonna do anything with it. Although I still have a tape deck in at least one car. One car. I'm never gonna open it. I mean, frankly, if I as long as I have a tape deck that doesn't work, it doesn't matter anyway. And your cousin Elon still listens to this because I sold him a Miata and it came with the purchase agreement.
Oh, I'm sure that's binding. Hey, but since I have the computer open,
I was gonna say, don't ask any other questions about Miatas. That's still
you can still buy.
it's
Wait,
a tender subject with me.
I wasn't gonna bring. You're talking about your non-Miata, man. That's all I'm saying.
What can I still buy? Tell me. Do
You
tell.
could still buy a six pack of TDK D90s.
Can you really?
$24 prime. Be here Wednesday.
Right. You could put them into your tape player that you don't use.
But I have one in the convertible. But I don't know if that tape deck works because I only found the tapes a few weeks ago.
Well, that seems like something you should try once.
Yeah, but it, we packed them away. I don't know where they are.
Well, so I found we got rid of most of our cassettes, but I kept some of the mixtapes that I had made for my wife and for myself. You know, there's probably 10 of them or something.
Yeah.
And yeah, the 86 560SL does have a tape deck.
Oh.
That probably works, knowing the previous owner. And so I should go and try them in there and just see what fresh hell I recorded.
see what transpires.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's funny because you made a good point earlier about, you know, there are different moods, right? I mean, for driving songs, and it's not always about going fast, but sometimes it's just like, you know, you're not in the mood for 60s music or 80s music or grunge music or whatever. But there's always a song that's right for the mood.
Just there a
matter,
is.
Matter you know, of finding it.
There is. And, you know, so the E46 has a CD player, an in-dash. And I have four or six CDs in the trunk of the car that I could pop in at any given minute. But what I find any more is, and maybe this is like Gen X 2022 ADD, but... like, I don't want to listen to a whole album. Like, you know, even if I love the album, even if it's an iconic album, I don't want to listen to the whole album.
So God bless the previous owner of my 560SL, because not only am I confident that the tape deck works, the radio works, but he had the iPod connection trick done by Becker Auto Sound.
Nice.
To the OEM stereo, and he's got the auxiliary input. It's in the console. It's very subtle. It's wired like through the console, and there's just a little audio jack input, and I can listen to, you know, iPhone music all day long on short attention span theater.
Yeah, and I like that. And it's funny, the Nakamichi tape deck that I put in the E30 has a CD input on the back. Mm. Like this circa 1990 stereo tape deck has RCA ins. So I have an RCA cable going to a mini jack with an adapter that I can plug my phone into.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice. It's got more connectivity than the E46 section.
So as I was setting up the stereo, the component system, one of the things I did is I started taking crates. We had these boxes that all our CDs were in, and going through them, thought, what CDs might I actually listen to all the way through? And honestly, I went from, I don't know, 15 of these boxes that probably hold 30 plus or minus CDs to probably somewhere in the neighborhood of, you know, 50 CDs. Mm-hmm. And even that is really optimistic. And the only one I have put into the stereo, the one that I tested it out with, was Abbey Road, because I wanted to listen to the medley all the way through. Hmm. That's something that I don't have on my phone. I have all the songs, but I don't have them in the medley format.
Right.
You know, basically, you know, she came in through the bathroom window, blimp, and then, you know, space to the next song, where I don't have the continuous medley. And, you know, that didn't suck.
No. No. What I do when I'm driving around, mostly in, well, actually, I do it in the Subaru also with CarPlay, is I have playlists. YouTube playlists on my phone that I don't access through the app. I access it through Safari running ad block. So you can listen to stuff on YouTube without the freaking commercials.
Oh, nice.
The problem is sometimes there are large spaces between the songs. Now, if you're just listening to a concert that's one long thing,
right,
you're just going to hear that and it's great. But if you make a, I'll just say it, if you make a mixtape, but on YouTube,
yeah.
Sometimes you get these long gaps. But I do that a lot, which also leads me to a lot of stuff I listen to while driving now are concerts on YouTube. Because I find myself, I'm digging more on live music, you know, and it can be anything, right? It can be, you know, a Steely Dan concert. It can be,
hey, Bee Gees, One Night.
That's a great album. But I don't like enough Bee Gees songs to like that whole album.
I went back to that one not that long ago, and I liked it better as a 50-year-old than I did as a 30-year-old.
No, I can see that.
I it's just one of those things. Maybe it's because I'm deaf and I can understand the words now or something. I don't know. But that one, I enjoy blasting that one.
Yeah. No, that's a good album. I remember when that came out. But yeah, no, that's good. You know, what else do I listen to? Actually, I can look because, you know, I have my computer up. But there's actually, there's a guy out of Canada, and it's a YouTube channel called House of Strombo. And it's literally this dude's house. And he has concerts in there with, like, bands you've heard of, bands you probably haven't. But like Franz Ferdinand did a concert there. And then other bands, like there's a band, another Canadian band called Fucked Up. There's another band called Death From Above. And it's literally like in this dude's living room. And people just come over and they have beers and like they play music. I don't know if it's his living room or his basement, actually. But yeah, so like, and they're short. They're like 35, 40 minutes. So if you're commuting somewhere, which we don't really do anymore, but those are good to listen to.
All of a sudden, I feel like my basement and my living room are very boring.
I mean, if you saw this guy's living room / basement, you would think that.
Yeah, right?
I mean, I tell you, if Death From Above plays your basement, I will be there. I don't care when it happens.
Maybe on our next podcast, we could do a live segment.
We could try that. I don't know what those guys are doing now. Actually, it's funny. They just came out with a song. I forget what the name of it is, but in the video, they're racing around like an abandoned factory, chunk of land property, in. Like a first gen Prelude being chased by, like, I don't know, an 84 Grand Wagoneer. Yeah.
That's so it's like an episode of Knight Rider.
Yeah, with better music.
I'm channel surfing the other morning, actually, like, you know, procrastinating going to work. And not only was it Knight Rider, but it was Knight Rider 2000.
Never seen it.
I haven't either, but the picture that comes up on the channel guide was a humongous David Hasselhoff head.
Okay. So that was going to be my question. Was Knight Rider 2000 after Knight Rider, or was it the one they did, like, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, where it was clearly Ford sponsored and terrible?
No, this was, so it looked like it was just, actually, it looked like a sort of circa 1998 Camaro, but it was probably a Firebird. I couldn't tell that well. I mean, you know, it stands to reason it would be a Firebird. But anyway, clearly Hasselhoff. Wasn't the later one, wasn't that not even Hasselhoff?
The Ford sponsored one was not.
Right. Yeah. No, this was still the Hoff.
Okay.
And I was tempted, but I did not succumb to the temptation. Because my wife was sitting there and she says, oh, hell no. But
your wife is not wrong, because we kind of went down that path recently. You know, hey, let's watch Knight Rider, the original. And we got like maybe three episodes and maybe four. The great thing about those shows is looking at all the background cars, right? Like, I know what that generation Firebird is. That's cool. But the cars parked on the street, the cars parked, because, yeah, you know, obviously they shot it all around LA, which was car mecca. Is car mecca anyway. Yeah, we tried that. We got through most of the first episode of the original Magnum PI.
Oh, the early ones are a little tough to get through.
They don't age well.
The first season of Magnum is a little tough. It gets better after that. But a Knight Rider, so the one that sticks out in my mind, the bad guy had a fleet of like 83 Thunderbirds, like my friend Dave had in high school.
Yeah.
But they were all red, and they had blackout tint windows because they were like robot cars or something, you know.
Oh.
But it was very hip in
Nice.
83.
Yeah, in '83. That was a
It
nice car in '83.
was. I always liked Dave's Thunderbird. That was a neat car, especially after we blacked out the grill and the headlight surrounds,
I
because
remember that.
we were very cool.
My buddy Jake in Southern California and I have this joke that anytime you paint the trim red on your car, it's Euro.
I might have done that once.
Another our friend Kurt and I did that on his mom's like 87 or 88 Hyundai Excel. We painted all the trim red and suddenly it was Euro like a GTI.
Do you remember the Quantum?
All too well.
The Quantum, not only did I buy a GTI steering wheel for it, that always annoyed me that it said GTI, because later Quantums, I had an 84, well, sort of 85 and after, had the same steering wheel, the GTI four button, four horn button steering wheel, but they had a VW logo instead of the GTI logo. But I had a GTI logo, and that always bugged me. But I did paint, there was a chrome stripe on the dashboard, and I painted that red. And I think I might have painted the emblem on the back for GL5, because it was a GL with five cylinders. I think I might have painted that red too. And that made the car not only, much cooler, but a lot faster too.
No, that's definitely worth a good 5 horsepower.
That was sort of what, M badges and AMG badges do now.
No, we did the exact same thing on Kurt's mom's Hyundai. We painted some of the dash trim red. I think we painted part of the grill red. I don't know why we did that.
And of course, a Hyundai in those days
Was a terrible car.
was not a great car. My sister had an Excel. It was not a great car.
So same cousin Elon had one of the first Hyundai Excels in Connecticut. I think it must have been 85. It was a silver 5-door manual transmission, no options, and it was $49.95, just like the ad said. And I remember him putting a stereo in it, and we were all impressed because even though the car didn't come with a radio or speakers, the wiring was all there. Like the wiring was in the car because they just figured, well, we only have to make one car that way, or one spec that way. So that was cool.
Well, I mean, you always like when they do that. I mean, even now, I mean, when you're going through a later model car, 90s or even early 2000s, God bless the engineers that just put one wiring harness in.
Oh, yeah, actually, here's the thing. So,
Do you have a thing?
I have a thing. I have a thing that I suspect you didn't know this. I didn't know this. So my wife let me
I
know
don't know. I've
that.
lost interest, man. That's
All right.
now
Well,
what?
that's
Sorry.
right. I kind of have to. So she let me know that there's a place over in Fountain City, Wisconsin called Elmer's Auto and Toy Museum. And they've been around for 29 years. But this is their last year. The family's shutting it down. And everything is going up for auction. When is it? In September. And these guys have a ton of pedal cars, like old school metal pedal cars.
Do they have a Pinto?
I'm looking. I'm only at page 14 through 66. But what I didn't realize is way back in the day, you could get Plymouth Superbird pedal cars. They have the nose cone and they have the wing.
That's awesome.
It's kind of awesome. I haven't looked outside of this auction, but I suspect they're ridiculously expensive, even if you can find them. But these guys have like three of them. And they have all these other interesting pedal cars. They have like Corvettes, which is actually interesting. If you buy a 50s pedal car of a Corvette, is it made out of fiberglass or metal?
Metal. It's cheaper.
Right.
For that. Because it's, like it's like one stamping, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, no, these guys have all sorts of cool stuff.
But yeah, interesting factoid about the two of us is that you know, as children of the early 70s, I first had the blue Pinto pedal car that I have specific memories of our two fathers together repairing the errant steering wheel on and then cooling it with scotch and soda after it was heat welded back together. And not long after that, that Pinto became your Pinto.
They have a Pinto.
Do they really?
I'm going to send it to you.
Is it blue?
Of course it's blue.
I mean, I didn't know if they made like a red one or something.
No, but I didn't mean it as of course it's blue, you idiot.
Oh.
No, it's very blue and very pretty.
Blue with white stripes, right?
Blue with white stripe, the hubcaps.
I have no idea what I would do with it, but I want it. I don't even want it. I just don't want it.
I want it. I adore it, but I don't want it.
I think I want a photo of it. That is awesome.
Right? it's awesome.
Somewhere there's a picture of me in that car. I have no idea where it is. Probably in a box. Reference earlier discussion about having recently moved. Mm-hmm. Most everything is in a box.
Yeah. If you want a hardcore nostalgia trip, like just surf through this. These guys have a lot of pedal cars.
And they're well, it's a Meekum auction, so you know it's gonna go for silly money. Probably go for about $28,000.
Yeah, no, it will. yeah, I can't like this Cobra 427 go-kart. I can't even imagine what that would cost. That's what I learned today. I learned that there are Superbird. Oh, here's a 500 SEC pedal car. I didn't think pedal cars were still a thing in the 80s.
Weren't they all like electric by then?
Yeah. Do you remember, wasn't FAO Schwartz, wasn't Neiman Marcus? There was one holiday catalog that came out that had, you know, the Mercedes and the Testarossa and the 911. They were the gas powered go karts.
It wasn't Neiman Marcus.
It might have been. I don't recall.
Sounds very Neiman Marcus,
right? And man, that was crack to 10-year-old me.
Yeah, I could have had one of those back in the day. Of course, by the time they came out, like I was too old for them anyway, but they still looked cool.
They still looked really cool.
It's like, do they not make like a teen version of that? You know, like a 13-year-old version. I can't drive, but I want to have something like that, you know.
I'd say our house is at the beginning of a probably quarter mile long cul-de-sac, and I think I could probably get away with a quiet go-kart for the kid. You know, as long as, you know, it wasn't straight piped or whatever. Not a lot of traffic on this road, and you know, my neighbors seem fairly reasonable, at least so far.
Until you're driving up and down it with a, you know, gas powered 500 SEC with straight pipes.
Straight piped.
Nostalgia is a funny thing, my
nostalgia
friend.
Is a funny thing.
I think that's it for today.
Yeah, I don't know. I got nothing else.